From Deep Inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Jeffrey Tippett.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. So Jeffrey is here today visiting us from what team? The networking team?
I work on the networking team. Specifically, I work on NDIS, which is, NDIS is like the core driver platform in Windows. So you plug in a network card. The first thing that network card does, it talks to NDIS.
Right, right. So it's the net. What is? I even forget what it stands for. Network.
Something stack. The network
driver
interface specification.
Interface specification. Perfect. And it's been around forever. Like it's up to version 5.
It's as old as I am.
It's
so
cool.
You know, Windows NT is about this old.
Yeah.
NDIS is actually this old.
Yeah.
So whenever the NT guys come and say, you know, you're breaking our contracts, I tell them, no, you're breaking our contracts.
Yeah,
we were here first.
That's right. It's really old. Right on. So we actually got some requests to do some. A debug extension that you work on to do a show on it. And so you're here. Thank you very much. So why don't we kind of talk a little bit about, like, maybe for starters, just sort of what is NDIS, like, conceptually, right? I know it's this driver, it's this networking
sure,
stack,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, it goes back, I'm trying to remember back in my MCSE test days where you're, like, learning about the OSI model and all this. And then, but that's more like the whole hardware plus software. But NDIS is just within Windows, like the driver stack just for networking in Windows, right?
Right. So, you know, that OSI model you learned in school, it's got 7 layers. And
yeah.
People argue, they'll sit in their chairs and they'll say 7 or 7.2 maybe,
yeah.
You know.
Right, right, right.
We just deal with layers 2 and 3. So that keeps things really simple.
Right, right.
Layer 2 is going to be your network card. So
yeah.
you plug in a USB adapter, you have a Wi-Fi card. That's layer 2.
Right.
Layer 3 is, you know, that just the next level protocol. So it'd be IPv4, IPv6. There's some other protocols like LLTD, LLDP. These are all the layer 3 protocols that sit on top of the layer 2 NICs.
Okay.
So somebody's got to bring all that together, and that guy is NDIS.
Right. And then you have this concept of like mini port drivers, right? Which is sort of to help network vendors from having to write their entire driver. You do a lot of the heavy lifting for them, right?
Right, right. So classic NT, you've got a port driver and he's responsible for everything that device does.
Right.
But nobody wants to have to write everything from scratch. So you get a port mini port model. You say, here's a store port driver and here's a store port mini port that plugs into that. We've got that networking. So.
Right.
When we say mini port in networking, we mean an NDIS mini port. He plugs into the NDIS port driver.
Right, right. So it reduces the amount of code that a particular your Intels or your Broadcoms or
right,
whatever
right.
these companies are that are making network cards, they have to write smaller drivers, right? So simpler drivers.
That's what we hope.
We hope. Right on, right on. And so what are some of the typical problems that you see, like that people come to you with in the networking land that you have
sure.
to debug, right?
So in networking, you know, on a client system like a laptop or, you know, a phone, the most common bug check, I'm getting ahead of myself, the most common problems you see that we deal with are bug checks because
right.
when a driver fails, you know, the screen turns blue, sometimes green. So you plug in a network card, you get a bug check, it's most likely going to be a 9F bug check. A 9F bug check means that the kernel tried to change the device's power state, and for whatever reason, the device just failed to do that after so much time. You know, on laptops, mm-hmm. about 10 minutes.
We see those across other kinds of devices as well, not just networking. Like 9F mm-hmm. is sort of just a general Windows system power state failure bug check, where something in the power
yeah.
Stack of some device is not working. Right. So, but you get a lot of those in networking too. Obviously.
We see a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any others that?
On servers, actually, servers, you know, for better or worse, don't really do power transitions. So
that's true.
They're kind of exempt from 9Fs. So the number one for servers is actually a 133. That's a DPC timeout.
Okay.
A DPC timeout is, you know, an operation where some driver grabs the CPU. You know, he raises dispatch level and he says, I need this CPU, and he just never really gives it back. So right. the kernel's sitting there saying, you know, where's my CPU? Where's my CPU? And after, I think it's, what is it, you know?
I forget. It's a couple of seconds or something. It's pretty short, right? I forget what the timeout.
20-ish, yeah. It's like less than a minute for a single DPC timeout.
Yeah, yeah.
So after some time, you know, the kernel says, where's my CPU? You know what? You're not giving it back? I'm going to bug check.
Yeah, I mean, DPCs, we've talked, I think, in previous episodes about them. They're the kind of the one of the bad things drivers can do, because when a driver is running at DPC level, there's no other threads that can get scheduled on that processor, right? So it's just, it kills you. Kills your performance, and if it never releases it, you just hang, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So at some point, I don't even remember when. Like, it used to be there wasn't a timeout for either of these things, like either the power or the DPCs. I want to say, like, back in, like, the XP days, if this happened, like, your system would just sort of hang forever.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, what's better, hanging forever or like blue screening? And we decided blue screening because then at least you get your computer back at some point, right? You're going to have to reboot anyway.
On the networking team, we tell a story of someone whose laptop, they put it into a bag, closed the lid, put it in the bag, and the laptop caught fire because you know, the thing was trying to do a power transition and it just hung. So the CPU is spinning 100% and, you know.
Getting hot.
It's in this enclosed space.
So that's
why we tell ourselves we do the 9F bug check, you know. Do not catch fire. That's kind of the important thing.
That's right. That's right. Halt and do not catch fire. It's like that show. Okay, cool. So you've got a debug extension, like I mentioned, that we got a question about from a viewer. Do you want to kind of show us a little bit about the NDISC-KD debug extension?
You know, fortunately, I actually have some dumps all lined up. What a coincidence.
Nice. We're going to hope that this computer's going to work okay for us. It kind of gave us some grief before we started, but running some pre-release.
I think once you're live on TV, everything works just fine.
Everything will work great. That's the rule. That's anti-Murphy's Law.
So I'm going to start with, you know, the most coolest, amazing command.
It's bang indiskd.help.
Help, oh my gosh. You know.
And I love that it's all clickable. It's got these links.
That was, you know, that was the best feedback. People said, I went through all this trouble to put together all these brilliant, you know, analysis stuff, and they said, I can click stuff. That's really nice.
That's really nice. Yeah, yeah.
So everybody went back and said, look, the Indisk guys figured out how to make theirs clickable. Can you make yours clickable?
Yeah, I've seen others starting to do that more now.
It's a pretty, you know, it's great technology from 1992. We're finally getting it.
Hyperlinks, yeah, exactly. Right on. Okay, so you start with the help, and then where would you go from here?
So help, you know, this gives you a list. Trust us, like, this is a list of all the commands. You know, some extensions kind of are a little dodgy with their help. We actually try and be helpful. So you say, you know, what should I do? Well, the first thing on the list is NetAdapter.
And that's actually tells you, like, in the help, this is a good starting place.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's one of the questions I get all the time is, where do I start? And so I, you know, put it right there. This is a good starting place.
Sure. Okay.
You know, let's start there. Uh-oh. Well, forget that bug. I fixed that in a later version, let's say. It'll be fixed by the time we're live, right?
Right, okay. I've never actually seen that fail. Maybe this is a different build.
It's probably just the one off on my machine.
Oh, okay.
We'll blame it on that. So NetAdapter is going to show you all the mini ports, all the network adapters on your system. So, you know, you start here, you say, this is where you just start getting a picture of what's going on in NDIS. You say, you know, what kind of networking does this device even have? Is it a server with a bunch of, you know, 30 adapters? Is it a client with just Wi-Fi and mobile broadband?
Right, right.
This is where you start and get a picture of just what end is this thinking about.
Okay. So it's got a list of them, links to the drivers, and then the net adapter, which is, I assume, is just a structure that NDIS uses itself to track that adapter, right?
Right. So we can click on any one of these, and we can go and see, you know, a very pretty... It's going to go slow because I didn't download symbols in this machine.
Okay.
We're going to see a very pretty demonstration of all of NDIS's state on that device, which I have to scroll. My desk has landscape monitor or portrait monitors, so you'll see a bias and all this stuff for, you know, tall versus wide.
Okay.
That's kind of an inside tip there.
There you go. Use portrait mode if you can.
But you can see, you know, if you're debugging a data path issue, there's... you can look and see, well, what's the data path doing? Here it says, well, the data path is, you know, cut because this device is not connected.
Right, okay.
So this is a good place to start and say, you know, I'm debugging some problem. Why is this not happening, or what's this device even doing is maybe it's stuck in a power transition. Media. This little block will show you all that state.
Disconnected media, right. So we know, at least you can figure out which one of these is actually in use at the time.
Right.
Right, okay.
But sometimes, you know, if you look at that list of adapters here, there's quite a few of them. And
yeah.
It's kind of hard to just look at this and say, oh, I know what's going on, you know. I mean, you really can't tell by looking at this. There's two physical adapters here. There's a bunch of virtual adapters here. There's some sort of multiplexer going on here.
Yeah.
I threw in a USB one for fun.
Sure, yeah.
So,
a lot going on.
You know, this is where you kind of want just, you know, this is, instead of zooming in on each individual adapter, you kind of want the big picture view. You know, say, like, yeah. what's this all connected to?
Right, right.
So that's where we've got another command here, net report.
Okay.
Net report is going to, yeah, it went by too fast now, but it's going to run all these commands internally.
Okay.
And then sort of bring that data together and analyze it. And yeah. It's going to draw a picture.
Very nice.
This is the part that everybody likes. This is the really cool demo.
Because it's graphical.
It's pictures, right?
Cool.
Everybody loves pictures.
Yeah.
So, and this picture is too big for the screen, but.
Scroll around.
Scroll around. We'll all be scrolling today.
We're going to hope that this doesn't crash like it did earlier. This is not your problem.
I mean, it doesn't ever crash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, not your fault if it does. Somebody else's.
Probably a networking bug.
Right on. So you've got. So what are we looking at? Each of these vertical stacks is a network adapter. Is that right?
Exactly right.
Okay.
So you know this. Let me start with a simple one instead of the cool stuff. This is a really simple stack. So you've got your kernel. This kernel debugger adapter is wired up to, and let me put it on the screen. It's wired up to a variety of protocols, including TCP/IP.
Okay.
So this is going to be one of the more interesting adapters because, you know, everybody cares about TCP/IP, and TCP/IP is using this adapter directly. And you can see we've actually pulled out the IP address, IPv4 and v6,
okay.
from TCP/IP state. So you can see, you know, if I'm debugging an issue and I know that this IP address has some problem, that maps right onto this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's very cool. So you get a really nice graphical picture of what your networking status is, or your various networking stacks on this machine.
Right. But, you know, if everything was like this, then it would be just too easy.
Right.
So, you know, then we bring out the crazy stuff, right?
Okay.
And this, for example, is a feature we have in Windows Server called NIC teaming, or LBFO.
Okay.
NIC teaming lets you bond multiple physical adapters.
Oh, okay. Under that's where we got all these cross lines.
Right, yeah.
Between these different columns. Oh, okay.
So we're trying to draw this picture and say, like, you know, actually, traffic can go from this adapter, cross that cross, and up this stack or this stack.
Okay. So this is any of these are essentially sharing the same sort of network path, but you're spreading the load across multiple networks.
Exactly. Right.
Adapters.
LBFO will put different VLANs in each virtual interface. So you know, I have VLAN 1, VLAN 2, VLAN 3 here. And then TCP/IP will bind each time. You can see TCP/IP is bound here, here, and here.
All across the top three.
So TCP/IP, from his point of view, he just sees I'm on VLAN 2 of this network down here.
Okay, I see. So that's very cool. So you got the three different. And now, if you hover over these, do you see the same IP address on each of these because they're all sharing a network?
Yep. This is just a scrolling issue. But if you notice, this is the dreaded 169.254 address. That means I wasn't connected to a real network down below. I don't have that many adapters in my office.
I gotcha. Okay. Right. 169.254 meaning you you got an automatic IP address.
Right.
Nobody's actually on the other end.
Everybody always says, you know, I want to know if my computer has an IP address. Well, it does.
It always.
No. Not that one. Not that one.
not the 169.254. Which typically means, well, maybe you've got two computers directly connected. They can talk over that or something, right?
But for some reason, nobody's happy with that. I don't understand. You know, we took a failure situation and we made it succeed, and they're not happy.
right. Okay, so this is very cool. Network debug report. And it's very nice. You've got this on a touchscreen tablet. It's nice to scroll around with your fingers.
I'm sure it's disorienting for the audience. They're looking at this thing just kind of scrolling for no good reason.
Right.
There's no finger on the screen.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But try it on your own laptop, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. All right. So then where would you go from here? Like, say you're troubleshooting a problem or something.
Sure. So, you know, maybe the customer is saying, hey, you know, my team is not getting connectivity. Well, now we can actually look and see, there's, you know, I've shown this team here. It's got two members and three virtual interfaces. Yeah. There's actually another team over here, member and two virtual interfaces.
Oh, yeah.
So the first thing you see from this picture is, hey, wait a minute, there's two teams going on.
Yeah, and that wasn't really obvious, right?
Exactly.
Because when you just did the net adapter, you just see there's, okay, five network adapter multiplexing.
Yeah, I'll tab to that, and here we are.
Yeah.
You don't see the big picture.
You don't know which of those are where. Okay, but when you view the graph, you very clearly can see like four and five are part of one team, and then one, two, and three are part of another. Ah, very cool.
So you can see, you know, this guy has an IP address. So somebody's complaining, I didn't get an IP address. They're not talking about this stack. They're talking about that one over there.
That second column with the 10.137. Ah, okay. Very cool. Makes it a lot easier to see what's going on the machine, doesn't it, when you've got a lot of networks.
It really does. And, you know, this all exists because I'm so lazy. Because I would be debugging these things, and I would get out a piece of paper and write down all the pointers and draw pictures and arrows, and you wind up with this paper covered and stuff. And I can begin debugging, you know?
Right. It's like, let's make the computer do that work.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and this is so much it's just so much time saving just to see, like, this is what's going on.
Very cool, very cool. And there's a few different check boxes at the bottom there. It looks like you can show hidden mini ports, show Indus filters.
Yeah, there's, if you're not looking at filters, maybe you don't care about Quaz or the WFP filter, you can just take those out of the graph. And the whole thing just gets
simplifies.
A lot easier. Yeah, it simplifies things. Maybe you don't care about TCP/IP, you can take that out.
Okay.
And then some people do debug the hidden mini ports, the RAS mini ports, so we can turn all those back on. But most of the time, you know, those aren't really where the action is.
Okay. It's interesting. I even notice you've got the kernel network, kernel debug network adapter. Is that always there, or was that only there because you turned on kernel networking on this machine?
So that's an interesting fellow. That always has a device installed in PMP.
Oh, okay.
But when he goes to Indus and say, you know, I want to start, he checks, are you using kernel debugging? If not, he'll bail out right in driver entry.
Okay.
So he won't show up on this graph most of the time because Indus doesn't see it.
Okay.
But he is kind of lurking there in the background for whenever you want to enable debugging.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
The other question that I get a lot is, geez, that's a lot of colors. What do those all colors mean, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So the answer, it's the simplest answer. I just take the string and hash it, and that's the color. So, you know, you just kind of learn, hey, the kernel debugger is going to be this cool shade of lipstick, you know?
The same name will always show up the same.
Exactly,
color.
Yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
So you get used to what you're making your mini port called the Bit Blaster. You just learn Bit Blaster is pink or whatever, and you can kind of just, like, look at the picture. Everybody thinks there's some, like, crazy thing going on. It's like, oh, this this is a hot nick, this is a cold nick or something. No,
okay. Okay, good to know. And there's even a clickable help link up here. I see you've done that too.
I don't know where that goes. You know what? I'm going to make that point to this show.
Ah!
And then everybody can look at it.
Very nice. There you go.
So yeah, by the time you guys click on it, you can come right back here.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. Okay.
So that's one report. Let's take a look at another one.
Okay.
I've got a bunch here.
Awesome.
So one of the things you see is it ran pretty fast. I have a little script that runs it right away just to cut down on typing here, because I'll probably typo everything. It asks you, do you want more stuff? That means he will collect all the slow commands. So he'll collect, you saw that there was a graph, a picture on the first one?
Yeah.
Let's try it again with the slow commands. And that will include, oh man, I can't even click. You can see, if you can see the status down here,
at the bottom there,
slowly groveling through every little device in the system, and it's going to do all kinds of groveling. It's going to make this 1 megabyte HTML file that's full of crap.
Okay, cool.
These are all self-contained reports that you can email them around or put them on a file share.
Now, when did this first get introduced, the net report?
It was... I can tell you what it was motivated by. It was the Filter Plug Fest. You know, the file system guys do the Filter Plug Fest every 6 months or every year.
Okay.
And I was there debugging network network filters. This was like 2014, probably.
Okay.
And I was going from machine to machine, and you know, the first thing you do is you do bank mini port and say, where's, start drawing that picture by hand, and then you finally get the picture, and you say, oh, here's the problem. Then you move to the next one, start drawing that stupid picture by hand, and So it was the filter plug fest. It was the, you know, me being exceptionally lazy, and it was the feedback that from the other people saying, like, and this kitty's cool, but I don't even know where to start, you know?
That's great. Yeah, I've kind of always had that issue too, because, you know, in my job as an escalation engineer, I was always debugging issues, and I didn't do a lot of networking issues, but occasionally I would have to. And I knew, like, okay, end is KD, and I can do, like, the net adapters, and I can, like, sort of do the basic stuff, but then it's like, well, now where do I go from here?
Right.
And so it's, this is cool, because it gives you more of an overview, like you were showing, of what network adapters are actually being used for what,
and exactly,
are actually alive and doing something and hooked up to something, and very cool. So it looks like it's collecting threads in Endis here, which
let's interrupt that one. We don't care about that. You can interrupt any one command and it will still make a usable HTML, we hope.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah, the first thing everybody says is, wow, what's going on here?
What is that?
Right. So Endis has a debugging feature where we can actually track packets as they go around the stack. So this network adapter, I mean, you can kind of tell there's a lot of action going on here. You can see where this is going. This network adapter is indicating a lot of receive packets. You know, every little dot's receive packet.
The one's going up.
And then there's the completion coming back down. So you can see this is this path that most of the traffic on the system is taking. But you can also, I mean, maybe it's a bit of an eye chart on the streaming, but there's a transmit path too. So there's data coming down from TCP/IP and getting bounced back up.
Oh, I see. That's why we have the ones that go up and come down, and then there's the separate ones that just go down.
Exactly, right.
Okay.
And it's a terrible, you know, layout because I'm not very good at graphics. But if you squint and kind of look at it, it's sort of, you can sort of imagine packets.
Yeah. Very cool.
So this feature tells you, you know, I've got these two adapters in here, but if there's any problems, it's probably going to be on this.
It's going to be that guy, because this one, this second column here, I just occasionally see like one little packet going.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, flying up there.
This guy's maybe been doing a little bit of traffic, but you can see he's got that dreaded 169 address, so he's probably not doing too much.
Probably not doing much. Interesting. So this just kind of gives you a quick view of like which network stacks are the most active.
Exactly.
Okay.
And when you get into more complicated pictures, when you introduce the vSwitch, for example, the vSwitch, I mean, it's just this massive blob of drivers, and say, where's the traffic going? You've got VMs going left and right, and you've got, you know, some physical adapters, maybe some host adapters, and just, you know, just even knowing what's the traffic even doing.
Okay, yeah, very cool. And this is all just from a crash dump. Like, we have this sort of in-flight recorder kind of concept then, right,
yeah,
in Endis, where you have some record of the previous X number of packets or whatever that have gone up and down the stack.
Exactly.
Even just from a snapshot of the system, like a crash dump.
Right.
Okay.
It's not enabled by default because that takes up just gobs of RAM. But
yeah,
you know, you enable Verifier, or you can just set a registry key manually, and you can get that enabled.
Oh, okay. Is there a link to that, like somewhere documented? People want to try that?
Yeah, so let me show you, let me show you what happens is you can run endiskitty.mbl log, and this will print out that giant log of what's going on with all the traffic on the NIC, which actually in this dump is terribly boring because all it's doing is showing that some device on CPU 7 allocated just 100 MBLs, and that filled the whole log right up.
Oh, okay.
Let me see if I can get some more. Oh yeah, here's some more action. So you can see, you know, this is the circular buffer that's showing a mini port received an MBL, a protocol. I can't even read that fast, but you know, we're trying to decode this big circular buffer of all the MBL activities. We're saying, here's the CPU, here's the URCL, if it's at dispatch level or maybe not at a passive level. And Endis KD NetReport had parsed this entire log and just sort of summarized it as moving dots.
Gotcha.
So that's, you know, rather than having to read this
rather mess, than having to like parse through this big text field, you get a pretty view of it. Very cool.
But so you asked about a link. So if you run this command and on just any old system that you take off the shelf, it'll say, hey, it's not going to work. Set this registry key.
Okay. So it's right there in
the documentation is right in the command.
Command. Awesome.
I think you can also find it if you search the Endis blog. We've got some documentation on our blog
on how to turn that sort of flight recording type of feature on.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. But we don't expect, you know, most people to want to look at this. You know, the picture is way more fun to look at.
But the picture also requires that to have been enabled.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So what else do we have here? We have Wi-Fi now. This is doing an interesting little Y shape here. You don't.
Oh yeah, your second two columns. Yeah, they're kind of connected there. This Wi-Fi filter driver to the Wi-Fi
space to get that all on the screen at once. But Wi-Fi does this interesting behavior where you've got one physical NIC, and he's got this station behavior. You know, Wi-Fi talks about stations and APs.
Okay.
He acts like a station, so he connects to just an AP, and that's just regular old Wi-Fi. Okay. But he can actually activate a second MAC and behave like an AP, or behave in an IHV-specific extensible feature way, which I think one vendor uses.
Okay.
So that's what this is showing here, is the user's enabled Wi-Fi Direct, or Wi-Fi Direct is a peer-to-peer protocol where the PC sometimes acts like an AP.
I see.
So to get that to happen, we've spun off a second Mac here, and this Mac is acting like an AP, and now your mouse or your printer or whoever is associating with this access point.
Okay.
And traffic comes through this stack.
I see.
So this is the stack for your peripheral devices, and this is the stack for, you know, what you think of as regular networking.
Okay.
And we're showing this little dotted line. It's not dotted, but you can imagine it being dotted.
Horizontal line.
Dotted line is technology that's way too hard for me. You know, this is a connection shows that, you know, when traffic goes through this stack, it's actually going to go through a back door into this filter driver and down here. So if you see a hang on this stack here.
On this right-hand stack, okay.
It may be caused by an issue with the physical mini port on this stack. So this dotted line is giving you a hint. You know, issues here, you know, everything that goes on here is actually coming on down over here.
Okay. Very cool.
So what else jumps out at you as being cool to talk about?
Well, you've got these different tabs across the top. I see overview, system, components. Are these clickable parts of the report?
They're not just clickable. They're touchable.
Ooh,
this
even
is
better.
Windows 8 technology, right? And color scheme.
Yeah.
So this, you know, this is just a quick overview of the system, because if someone emails you one of these, you kind of want to know,
sure,
what am I looking at, you know?
So this kind of just dumps out stuff from the debugger.
Exactly,
into,
you know.
Okay. Very
so
cool.
Here's the build number.
The build
and all
number,
that.
Okay.
It'll do a bang analyze, because that's got a lot of useful information, but in this case, it was a manual break-in, so it's not going to tell
no
you much.
So there's no bug check.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
We have a summary of all the stuff, so it's like you went and said, Endis KDE, everything, you know, and we'll just put that all into this giant list of stuff. So you can act as if you're debugging that system just from this HTML file. So you want to run Endis KDE dot, you know, the Wi-Fi NIC. You click or tap on that.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the driver. You want to click on, you can click on the hyperlink here, the HTML hyperlink, but it's actually like a debugger hyperlink.
Mm-hmm.
And you wind up at the bang Endis KDE that you would have had if you'd running this interactively.
So you can kind of just email one of these reports to somebody for analysis, and they really don't even have to have the whole dump to be able to get a lot of networking information out of it.
It's like, you know, there's full dumps, there's mini dumps, and there's network HTML files.
Yeah, that's very cool. You had overview, system, components, summaries, data flows.
Summaries. One of the questions people ask is, you know, I've got this IP address. Can I see all the IP addresses, or can I find an adapter by an IP address?
Mm-hmm.
So we show a table of IP addresses, of layer 2 addresses. These are MAC addresses. You know, you'd say, I know this MAC address. I want to find the adapter that has it.
Sure.
We'll show, a lot of people care about, I took it off the screen. A lot of people care about the IF index or the GUID, so we show all that in a big old table, and you can just say, oh, I care about if index 12, that's whatever that is, you know.
And that's, IF index is just a network and Endis sort of index, a numbering scheme in Endis?
Yes. If you look at, oh, I should have Don't make me memorize this. The guys in the comments will probably correct me, but I think it's RFC. Shoot.
Some RFC.
2863.
Okay.
Let's say 2863, maybe. It'll describe, you know, here's how an operating system should represent its network interfaces to the world.
I see.
It has notions of like an IF index and we say name here, but according to the RFC, it's technically IF disker. So you can map all this stuff onto RFC terminology.
I see. Okay. Networking stuff. See, I told you I'm not like a networking guy at heart, but I would know this. But
deep down inside, everybody's a
networking
guy.
Sure. Like, I love networking. I've been doing networking. This is going to date me, but like I had those LAN parties in the 90s and people bring their computers over. And it was a nightmare back then to get computers to talk to each other.
We had the FireWire networking connection. I remember using that. You had this big old PC and plug in the FireWire and you get like blazing fast networking, you know? It'd be
megabytes
per second, right?
No, we were using like these coax BNC cables.
Okay. Yeah, you
like,
updated yourself.
Really bad, really bad. Yeah, this is like Windows 9X. Like, It was a night. We'd have a LAN party expecting to play games all night, but then it would turn into basically a network troubleshooting party, and
more fun.
Yeah, we'd spend like 4 hours getting the computers to talk to each other. No one would ever even get time to play games. So.
That's still what I do. It's like let's play games. Okay, now Minecraft needs this firewall port open. Okay, let's go open this firewall port. Oh, the JVM's out of date. Let's go update the JVM.
Yeah, we still have some of these problems. You would think we would solve. They've just morphed into different problems. Well, this is very cool. Is there anything else you want to cover, or I think we kind of got the
just that covers the flashy stuff.
Okay.
Let's see. So I mentioned at the beginning DPC debugging. I haven't said anything about that at all.
Oh, okay.
Actually, 9F debugging, you can often debug it just by looking at the picture. You say, okay, this guy's stuck, he's related to that, there's an OID stuck on this. Okay. But you know, you want to get into learning more about what IOs are happening or what commands are stuck. You know, you have to go back to the debugger and do the text interface.
Sure, okay.
Because we still have a lot of good stuff buried in text right now.
Yeah.
Oops, did I spell it right?
Not quite. And just KD.
So one of the commands, which is not going to be too cool because I don't have any OIDs in this dump, is nskd.oid. That's going to show you all the control requests that are pending on the system at a time.
Now, OID is what is it? What exactly is this concept here?
An OID, so if you're familiar with WDM, and you're probably familiar with ERPs then, so an OID is a lot like an ERP. It's kind of this control request that comes from on high and goes down on low, you know?
Okay. So within NDIS, this is sort of the equivalent of that. Just, this is some kind of request in flight for input or output or something.
And remember, NDIS predates NT, so you think of ERPs as the cheap knockoff of OIDs.
Ah, you guys invented OIDs. Right. Okay, so that will show you if there's pending activity. And at the point this dump was taken, evidently there wasn't.
This is the least interesting dump, yeah.
Right, but if there had been some IO in flight or something, you would see that here. Okay.
You'll tend to see, you see this little stack of OIDs where, you know, we try to send an OID to the protocol and he tried to send an OID to the next filter and everybody's all kind of choked up because, you know, some device down the bottom is clinging onto that OID and hasn't completed it.
Right.
And it's similar to ERPs, you know, if one ERP gets hung, you really kind of start choking the system up.
So you would, so say in a 9F situation, we would probably want to look at that.
That's
right?
One of the first places to start. As you can see, you know, in networking, the power transitions are delivered via an OID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of having an ERP MJ set power,
MJ
whatever it is.
Set power ERP, yeah.
Instead of having that, we have OID PMP set power. So there's a pretty good correlation there. So you say, you know, bang OID is going to tell you all the pending OIDs in the stack, just like bang PO action will tell you all the power ERPs in the stack.
So you would probably see an ERP as well, right? Because from the NT sort of perspective, you'd see that set power ERP, and then it'd be sitting waiting on NDIS.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have to come in here to see what NDIS is actually doing in its own sort of stack.
Exactly. Yeah. You can think of you know, NDIS as like this third dimension that just kind of sticks up out of NT, you know.
Right.
NT just sees this device, but NDIS sees, it's not just a device, it's a mini port, some filters, some protocols.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, very cool. Because, I've seen that in dumps before. I'm like, I don't know your network. Something's going on in the network. So this is how you find out what's going on in the network.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. Okay. Right on. So that'd be great for like that 9F kind of situation.
Right.
And then you mentioned like the 133 bug checks, which is the DPC watchdog timeout. Mm-hmm. You'd look at OIDs there too, I would assume, right?
The DPC watchdog, it can be caused by OIDs, but in a lot of cases, it's just caused by, you know, overstress the system. So you've got 1 billion packets to indicate, and you just start going through that in a list.
Okay.
So there's maybe not any control requests pending. It's just you're doing a lot of work. So for 133, there's, you know, you definitely start with the easy stuff. Start with the pitchers, start with the bangoid.
Yeah.
But you're probably going to have to fall down to, you know, looking at bang stacks, see who's active on the system, bang running, see what the CPUs are actually doing.
Yeah, I mean, the nature of that is that we're at DPC and no one else can get the CPU. So, you know, whatever is hanging it is going to be on the CPU by definition. So you can start with that stack, right? But then it's like, well, why is it taking so long, right?
Exactly,
to process that DPC. And that's, I guess, where you have to get in and dig into what it's doing inside Indus, if it is stuck on networking. You know, not all 133s are caused by networking, obviously. But
it seems like most of them are. That could be an observational bias from where I stand.
It's
right?
From your perspective, the only ones anyone ever asks you about are exactly.
But you know what kills me is some people will say, I'm going to write a network driver, I'm going to use Indus, so I will call my driver the Indus foo. And then you get this driver in the stack called Indus foo, and they say, oh, this looks like an Indus bug. Let's send it to the Indus team.
Send
you know?
A team.
So we get a lot of, if you put the letters NDIS into your driver, we'll get that crash dump, and we'll look at it and be like, not ours.
So pro tip, if you want Jeffrey to debug your driver, just call
we're
it
done.
Indus
I think
something.
We're done with the broadcast.
And he won't actually debug it. He'll just say no a lot. Very cool. Right on. Cool. So any last things you want to show off? Or think we kind of covered the basics?
I think we have a good overview of the basics, yeah.
Okay.
You know, these are the tools that I use every day when I debug and I look at, you know, some of these thorny driver issues, the hangs and the crashes. And
right on. Used by the Indus team themselves, so that is a quality seal of approval right there. Very cool. Well, people can always email us, you know, put comments below the show if they have questions, you know. And
I promise I'll read some of the comments.
Some of them bug us. We'll send them along. Right on. Well, thanks for showing us. This is very cool. I get it's very interesting to me because, you know, coming from more of the kernel and the non-networking side, I get more of a view into this extra little world that sits on top of the plug and play and the kernel. Yeah, very cool. Right on. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Chad, that's okay.
Cut that from the video.
No, it's you know, there's a long story. I'm always getting called Chris. I don't know why. When I first started at Microsoft, I was hired at the same time as a guy named Chris, and like for 5 years, we had offices next to each other, and everyone would call me Chris. And they'd call him Chad. So I'm used to it. So you're just hearkening back.
Have you ever thought that maybe you really are the Chris?
Maybe I am. I don't know. Maybe I was switched at birth. I don't know. Right on. Well, anyway, that's our show. Andrew will be back hopefully next time. He couldn't make it today, but thanks for watching. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down there or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com and we'll take a look at them. Thanks for watching.